Hey, what's happening, everybody? This is Dennis Terrell of Terrell Knife Works, and you and I are listening to the Work For It podcast, where the emphasis is on business in the workshop. You can support these guys for as little as $1 a month or $12 a year, and show your support by going to patreon.com/workforit to find out more. $12 a year, that won't even buy 2 gallons of gasoline here in California. You might as well support these guys like I do, so they can help us all work for it.
Always jump the gun. Don't jump the gun. Oh, did I say gun? Oh my God, I said gun. Oh, I fucked up the podcast already.
There you go.
Oh my God.
Shut it down.
Okay, no. Here we go. We'll just start this again. You're listening to the Work For It podcast. It's Brian House in the studio with my boys. Brian Cohn is back. He was in the jungle. He was
back
doing
again.
He was Shady's doing a back. PSYOPs mission. He was hired by the government. We can't talk about it. All right. they called him up, and when they call, when the CIA, the FBI, the DEA, and Homeland Security, the Marines, the Navy, and the Air Force call you, and they say, "Brian, we need you."
Yeah.
What does Brian do?
I fucking work for it.
He works for it. He arms up. He
skips an episode.
He grabs all of his knives, everything he can put in his pockets, and he goes. Flies over the jungle. It's right. We don't even know how many people have been laid to waste by Brian's blade.
We're going to take it.
That is classified information.
Yeah, classified. I wish I could talk about it, but you know, I'll just talk about the rest of my week.
Exactly.
Yeah, he said way too much already. So
the thing is the reason why they hire Brian is because he's so stealthy.
Oh,
it's like he goes wherever he goes, he can like pull that beard up over himself. It's like a cloak, like from Lord of the Rings. He can disappear, and then he takes over. It's crazy.
Now's the time to let you know that Brian is on mushrooms.
Anyway, gentlemen, how are you? It's good to have us all back in the same room again and recording and being, you know, us again, work for it. It's fantastic to talk to you and connect with you this week. I will say I'm excited about springtime. I'm not usually that excited about spring because Florida gets very hot, like right around this time of year, and then it stays hot until September. But Blade Show is coming up. I mean, it's on your heels. It is like nipping at the back of your feet. And if you're like me, you're getting ready for this. You're preparing. You're getting your room rented. You're getting your travel stuff together. And you're also hopefully crushing it in the workshop so that you can put the best work possible out on your table or bring it with you or whatever it might be. So you can share with the world what you've been up to in person, not just on Instagram, but in person. You can actually go and do that work. So last week we had Jeff Fader on the show. It was really great to have that conversation. Got lots of positive feedback about that and about our solutions. And if you haven't noticed already that I am cross-posting and actually putting out a lot of content, short-form content, out on YouTube Shorts. I am saying this right now. I'm going to say it one more time so you guys know. If you make content now, you should be doing it 60 seconds or less in vertical format and uploading it to YouTube Shorts first, then cross post it to TikTok, Instagram, Facebook, etc., because we are trying to move the attention. And by the way, it's working. Just so you guys know, it's working. It's converting. It's making sales. And we are watching. We're watching the shift. It's just that simple. So anyway, Brian, I didn't mean to cut you off. What were you going to say?
I just want to say a big thank you to Jeff Fader for filling in for me yesterday or last
big
week.
Shoes to fill, yeah. Man. Big
oh,
shoes.
Oh, come on. Get out of here with that. But
he
yeah,
even
Jeff,
tried
Jeff
to grow
awesome.
A beard for the show.
Oh.
He was telling me he was trying to grow a beard.
And all right.
He didn't have enough time, so unfortunately.
No, it's been a pretty good couple weeks. Not quite as much work out in the shop. Like you said before, I was psyoping it out in the woods.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I got to do what
don't
you got to do.
Don't say too much. Don't say too much.
Can't say it. Can't talk about it. I mean, that's what I've been told is I can't talk about it. But yeah, other than that, I actually was able to run my first class, like a proper class. Had two people in the shop at the same time, and we made these BDEs. It was a really good time. I am really getting bit by the teaching bug right now.
It's interesting because you started your professional development before you even started making knives. You thought you wanted to be a teacher. And now you're kind of coming around full circle to teaching something you really love.
Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe that's the recipe.
I personally had a great time with it. And then very shortly after, I actually ended up booking a class for tomorrow. I'm doing a chef knife class one-on-one. So that's going to be
fun. Fantastic. So now will you forge that out, that chef knife, or how does it, what's the class consist of? Give me the broad strokes.
So we're actually going to be doing stock removal, and that's just because, so I can say that Jeff Carey is the guy that I'm doing it with. And
he told me he was going to be driving through your part of the woods there.
Well, he was talking about, you know, like wanting to learn about how I've been doing my bevels for chef knives. You know, I learned how to do that down there in Florida. And I've been absolutely like all about that style of belt grinding.
Right. And he's all in on the tsunami. So he is like ready to go. Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
So he wanted to basically come by the shop and learn how to do it. And I was like, well, let's turn this into a whole class and we can do a bunch of different things. I can show you how I do my hidden tangs with the frame tangs. We can do the whole chef knife. You can bring another knife that he's working on that I can show him on that one how to do it. And we can really get into the weeds about all of the little processes about that style of belt grinding. So
fantastic. Yeah,
we're doing, so with the BDEs, it's just the class that I taught last week. It's just a couple stock removal knives and there's no handles. It's just really focusing on, you know, doing a quarter inch thick blade with a big beefy hollow grind on it. And that worked really fantastically. It turned into like almost, I think it was somewhere around 11 hours for the class. It went 11? Really long.
That's a long class.
Yeah. But I'm thinking the chef knife, we're probably going to be right around 8 to 9 hours. And I mean, we're going to go from completely stock material and just work at it till it's done. We're going to try to get it done in one day. And I think it's going to be possible. So
I think so too. Do you think that perhaps in your classes, like I'm assuming the more you do, the more consolidated you can make them. I mean, you know, because I have a feeling that you're testing the waters, but as you go, you're going to streamline the process. Do you see room for that?
I've basically realized, especially if I'm having people in the shop that have never made a knife before, the belt grinder is very scary to them.
Yeah.
So to try to figure out ways to have them become comfortable and spend a little bit more time on the belt grinder than I normally would, because, you know, it's a kind of a scary machine if you've never seen one before, you know? So to familiarize them and like have them have a piece of scrap material that they can hog off on and realize that it's not going to hurt you and like the thing's going to get hot and you're going to dunk it and that's okay, instead of you know, working on their blade and having them be super timid and maybe make a couple mistakes, it's better to give them a piece of scrap and say just go crazy with it, and learn that this thing is, yes, it might look intimidating, but it's not as scary once you become comfortable with it. So there's little tiny things throughout the processes that can familiarize them with the machines and get them comfortable so that actually you might spend a little bit more time on the scrap, but it'll shorten the overall time because they're no longer timid.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It makes a lot of sense. I always think in terms of that when we're doing anything, you know, we're trying to repeat processes over and over. And when Pickle was down here, he got a front row seat to what it looks like to forge out hundreds of these swage blocks that we've been making.
Yeah.
And we had it down pretty good, didn't we, Pickle?
Oh yeah. We had it down to the T.
I want to ask you something because I'm not clear on the technical term, but we had to remove a C hair. Is that a, when we were, so what we did was we made this jig that went on this anvil inside of the new 120 ton press that we got from Coal Iron, and I had CNC cut it and I made it slightly oversized, but it didn't compensate for thermal expansion. So when we were working on this, Pickle says remove a sea hare, and there's a lot of conflicting data on what actually a sea hare is. Now, I thought it was a sailing term. See, but then someone told me it's the same width as a bee's dick. I don't know. I mean, I'm starting to get a visual on this, and I don't really understand it. I mean, can we measure this with a micrometer or not? I'm not sure. We need some calipers or...
Well, maybe
I've heard
years.
Color makes it... I've also heard color makes a difference.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. There are thicker pubes than others. Yes.
Hey, whoa. Let's talk about pubes. Nobody's talking hair. About pubes around here.
What was
are we
funny
doing
is I translated... I see here. I translated or I did the auto caption thing on Instagram,
and it's sea like the sea,
like SEA sea hair. And then a couple of people in my sphere, one being a woman, commented on it. And she was like, I don't know. I think it was from thermal expansion, blah, blah, blah. But she didn't listen to the audio. She was just reading the words on the screen. And then, of course, now everybody's jumping in.
Yeah,
she didn't really realize, and there was a whole bunch of people that wrote in and were like, come on, man, you know what a she here is.
All this Wait, hold on. I think I know what it is.
Okay, go ahead.
It's a hair you can just barely see, right?
You can barely see it. That's
you
right.
You can barely see that hair.
If that anyway, works that for real you got... it doesn't hurt your feelings, good. But
if you want to laugh, go watch that reel and read the comments underneath of it. It was really funny. And Sarah's like, you're not going to post that, are you? I'm like, oh, I'm posting it. I mean, this
can't be worse than
like a
joint, right?
Hey, we're trendsetters, man. I got to say, right. It's a whole thing. It was a great week, though, having Pickle down in the shop. We had a great time.
It was definitely a blast.
Do you have any
down
highlights
there,
of the week, Pickle, you want to talk about?
The whole week is a highlight. I can't complain. Just having the opportunity being down there to work in your shop and see how things move in there. And it's always different every time I go. Last time I was down there was when the Apollo dropped. Well, not the last time, but the time before Blade, when I went in February last year. You did that Apollo launch. You know, that was a whole different thing. That was a different week, you know. And it was great. And then this last week here was just another one that was different from the others. And there's so much to be done, learned, and everything. And it was amazing. I got to hang out with Steve Kalb as well, too, on Friday, which is great. You know, had fun working with Dexter, hanging out with you, Sarah, and the kids and everyone. It was just a good time overall, man.
It was good to have you. Amazing time. And and we were productive, too. I mean,
definitely. That Swage Block project, like the Spoon project, is just, it was great to be part of it. Like,
yeah,
I'm proud to say I was part of that project and the production part of it.
Because I think before you got there, we had only made a handful of them.
Yeah.
You know, I probably had made 20 prototypes, but I didn't have any in production.
You didn't even have the 120 ton press when you were doing your prototyping, right?
Yeah.
So when I got there, you had it, and there were no dies, there were no anvil block on the press or nothing. So, you know, we took care of that Saturday when I got in, like heat treating that big block of D2 steel. We designed that. You designed that thing, and then we went to the shop and cut it out, the jig. We cut it out and set everything up, and then we had a blast with that. And then when Steve came in, we did that other run of Swage Blocks because you sold out of that first run like within 4 hours, which was amazing. And then after, you know, holding that jig there for a few hours and many runs of pressings, I found it pretty hard on the wrist and the forearm, right? Because you're always clamping down on a set of tongs. So I thought a handle would be a great thing for that jig. And we gave Steve Kalb the opportunity to forge us out a handle for that. And that turned out pretty good, too.
Nice.
That was some pretty interesting content, too.
Yeah. We asked him to forge out a dick and ball handle for the Swage Block jig that holds it and centers it into the thing. And what I find funny is I get like these DMs or comments that are like, I can't believe you're forging out a dick and balls, or I can't believe you're lighting joints in your shop and you're posting to your business. It's like, man, business is done so much differently now. I would rather be genuine and just, we're goofing around. We're just having a great time.
We're not salesmen, right? Like we're not.
Yeah. We're having a good time.
Speaking a script, or we're not trying to sell a car. We're reaching out to our people. Right. And a lot of our people are artsy kind of people, right? Like I did the joint thing, and then Nick Rossi turned around and did it with his touch of things, and it was fucking great. It was like his quenching ritual where he lights a joint, then he lights some sage, and then he quenches a knife. It was fucking great. But he's like this with a hot knife, you know? And then Jay Nielsen did it too, and he did it in a, hey, this is just me being me manner. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is okay, it's medicinal. I'm sure
he was reading the comments. His was a lot ridiculous. More than ours. Yeah.
People are just fucking got their heads up where the sun don't shine too long. And
honestly,
they need to get it out of there.
The whole idea of, you know, just being you and showing off who you are, that's what endears you to the vast majority of people. And that's kind of the whole idea of doing those vlogs is like, I'm just trying to lift the, you know, professional. I mean, of course, I'm still being professional. I'm not, you know, being an idiot on the vlogs, but like, I'm just trying to let people see behind the scenes. And that's what you guys are doing with those, you know, with those types of posts where you're just trying to show people who you really are. And the only reason why people are trying to are going to choose you over the myriad other people is because they like you, you know?
Yes, that's true.
Yep.
And also, I feel like with social media now, if you're a goofball online, people see the things you're doing and whatever else, and it becomes questionable to them. There's so much other data out there that they can dig into to show them that you're still a very viable professional business. If you're, you know, your reputation, you should protect it. It should be the thing that you protect, you know, keep it really close to your heart. You really want to make sure that you're, you know, honest and straight laced and all that stuff. And so you can do that and still do the stuff that we are doing online and still entertain people and still, like, you know, if we were goofing around like that and screwing up our orders and not taking care of our customers and, you know, doing all that stuff, I could see how people would go, yeah, those guys are just, you know, they're goofy and they're whatever. But when you see our logistics and you see all the other stuff we're doing, it go, you know, guys go, yeah, I want to buy from them. They're hilarious and they're also crushing it. They're doing their jobs and they're making quality tools and everything else. So I implore you to, you know, just start looking at the way commerce is being done and, you know, be yourself, you know, just be vulnerable and be yourself and have
a good time. It kind of gives me the flavors of, you know, those people that say like you shouldn't tell people your processes because then other people are going to, you know, rip you off and stuff like that. You know, you don't have to be super serious and like this isn't the Middle Ages where you have to protect and like pretend as if you're just a stone wall making, you know, the best work ever. You can show that you make the best work ever, but also have, you know, a personality.
Yeah, this is so true. This is so true. Yeah. And I think well, we know it works for us. So it's one of those things where I would rather be myself and you can listen to this podcast and hear everything, you know, we can talk about literally anything here. And initially when we started the podcast and my followership started following me, they were like, wow, this is so much different than your YouTube channel. Well, yeah, that's a different audience or whatever, but the hardcore people, the fans, the people that would support my work, which there's so many of them now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. They get it. They're like, yeah. I get it. I get what he's doing. It's, you know, whatever. But then there's somebody that always did, like, there's a guy that walks into the room and goes, whoa, 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 this isn't how this should be done. It's like, well, we're breaking the mold. How about that? And we'll change
exactly.
That, you know, kind of thing. So anyway,
making our own boxes.
Exactly. So the Scoop project was a massive success. We ordered a whole bunch more so that we can keep up with orders. I did not expect, you know, we made 150 of them initially and then we sold out. So it was like, okay, I guess this is good. You know, and usually that's how it goes.
70 more.
Yeah. Let's do 70 more. Then we sold those. And then it was, you know, we just kept dropping them. So, I don't even know what to say other than thank you. It was a huge thing for us.
I think was the first person to watch that YouTube video. For whatever reason, it popped up on my notifications, and I just put it on and watched it. First of all, it's a very entertaining video, and it's very compelling to realize, like, holy crap, this could be a really easy, like, intro to blacksmithing class type of a project. I mean, of course, it's also fun because, you know, you could get one and make one yourself. But if you're spending the amount of money for the swage and all that, you're going to either want to produce a bunch of them or teach a class with them. And I think the class is where it's at. Maybe I'm just thinking about classes a lot lately.
Well, no, you and Jordan, too. Jordy the knife maker said the same thing. He goes, man, that would be a knock it out of the park because everybody walks away with something cool. You know, and it's not like they have to forge it out. Yeah, it's a couple hour process, and they learn a little bit about copper or brass or whatever they decide to make it out of. Mm-hmm. And there's not a lot of skill needed to do it. You need something to press it out with, and you need, you know, if you follow the steps that I take, like, no joke, I can knock one out in like 20 minutes now.
Right.
But if you're teaching people, it's going to be an hour and a half, 2 hours. And of course, you don't charge the same amount of money as you do with a knife making class. But that's the draw. And then that person comes and takes the class, and then they go, I want to take a knife making class. I want to do something else.
It's like two different crowds, and you could make people from that one crowd become members of the other crowd too. You know what I'm saying? Like you said, you come in to make a spoon and you leave wanting to make a knife afterwards. You're winning.
Yeah.
100%. And then it also on the sales side of it, you make a spoon, you put it on your table, and they, you know, somebody might not want to spend $300 on a knife, but they'll spend $75 on a scoop, and you've broken the ice with that customer. Yep. So, yeah.
I wanted to ask you a question, Brian. I heard you bring it up on the Triple T podcast yesterday, which was a great episode, by the way. And I wanted to ask you how, like, I saw it in your face. And I saw you do it, and I saw you express yourself about it, and then I heard you express yourself about it, but I want to hear you say it here. How does it feel to sell a piece of your own art?
So when it's an unbelievable feeling.
Because I saw you, like I said, when I saw you making those two spoons for customers that asked you to make spoons, it was just a different Brian House. It was...
Yeah. Well, I spend so much time making machines, and there is a bunch of people that think that my machines are beautiful and that they love, you know, they're like, oh no, man, you've been making art, you know, you're selling your machines and you're doing this and that. And I appreciate that. It's definitely a different feeling though. When I made the scoops, and the scoops was something that is, it's different than a machine. I don't know how else to put it. It's just not the same. And when we started the scoop project, we got all these DMs from people going, hey, I don't want to make my own scoop. Will you make it for me? You know? And so I went to Sarah and I said, hey, throw up some pictures of finished scoops, put them on the website. We'll see if they sell. And they did. And one guy messaged me and he says, can you sign the scoop? Can you take a scratch all, just put your name in it? And I was like, man, yeah. I can laser my name in it if you want. Like, I don't know. And he says, he goes, no, I need you to do it by hand because this is going to be worth a lot of money one day. And I was like, okay, you know, I'll scratch it into the copper. So I did. And I made a little video. Pickle made, you know, grabbed the phone and we sent him a little DM. And I said, hey, I really appreciate this because it felt so much different than taking laser cut parts and assembling them, bolting them together. It felt like this was a piece of me, like my soul went into this device. And I didn't invent the coffee scoop. I didn't invent how this is made. This is not the only thing original about it is my twist on the project. There's so many other people. We actually
make
dug
it
back
available to people.
Yeah. We dug into where that original design came from. It was a woman. I can't remember her name. She's up in Maine somewhere. And she, as far as I can tell, was one of the first people. And this was back in 2014, put together a copper coffee scoop that looks similar to this, kind of the same concept. And again, I'm sure 100 years ago, this is how they were made. So who knows? But
during the copper age, they probably had a bunch of utensils and shit. So,
And she kind of popularized it. On Instagram again, brought it all back and put her twist on it. And then a bunch of other people have done it since. I had one guy message me telling me that it was his, that he had designed it back in like 2019. And I was like, bro, I don't know why. I'm like, I don't want to get into this design aesthetic thing about like who invented the spoon. But if you want to go into that, you know, feel free to Google it. I'm not in that business. It's a twist on that design. You know, it's just a twist and it's different. And also, just like the Revolution, just like the Apollo, I made it easy for people to make it.
Yeah, exactly.
So I got a little flack from a few people that were just like, well, this has been around forever. And yeah, it has. But here's the thing. You don't sell hundreds of them like we did to people if you didn't do it the right way. So that's just how I see it. So.
Speaking of easy to make, the Gen 5 Revolution grinders, those are nice to put together. Like, seriously,
you put three of them together in an afternoon.
Wow. Yeah,
and it was great. And that's something that's cool, too, is that there's three of these grinders going out into the wild that there's a part of me in them that customers are going to have.
That's right. So and one of them is Brian's, actually.
Woo! So look at that.
You rubbed your pickle all over it, right?
Yeah, it's got some pickle sweat all over it.
It's funny.
But that was a blast, too.
Isn't
there a joke from a drum set? Did you put something on my drum set from Step Brothers? Did you do that?
Yeah.
You can't make movie references with Pickle, by the way. He doesn't watch TV or
I don't watch TV or movies. I'm clueless of half of what references are.
That's okay.
Yeah, but we had a great week.
Catch on to that.
We had a great week.
I kind of remember Step Brothers a little bit because when it did come out, I did see bits and pieces of it. And it was kind of funny, yes.
Okay, cool.
And that's only because it's Will Ferrell. And Will Ferrell is actually one of my favorite actors, if I'm going to speak of actors.
He's a great actor. Real quick, switching gears. Brian, I wanted to... We're very close to the YouTube challenges videos, right? Being released, Dennis's challenge
this weekend, man. It's
this weekend.
It's
420, baby.
420. It's dropping on 420. I don't know if that was on purpose, but yeah. So I actually just got the final cut of the video, and I'm going to be doing voiceovers today on it. So, you know I say it a lot, but this is by far the prettiest knife I've ever made. And I feel like I say that at the end of every single one of these challenge videos. But I mean, what do you guys think? I sent you guys pictures.
Oh, no, stunning piece.
Beautiful
man.
Piece.
Yeah.
Beautiful
it's,
piece.
Yes. I'm very excited for the video. It's there's a couple things that happen in it that build suspense. And, you know, obviously I've talked about the bomb in the even heat situation that's in this video as well, but
okay.
I'm just really stoked about it, and I was also really excited to see those pictures that I sent you guys, because I sent the knife over to Koi and he had Waylon take some professional photos of it, and it's just one of those things, like I feel like it's surreal that something that I made looks like that, you know. It's just I don't know what it is.
It's well deserved because you spent so much time on it and the design on it. And then also the YouTube challenge that Dennis puts together. Mm-hmm. What does he do it twice a year now? Something like that. It takes you out of your comfort zone a little bit because, you know, we have a tendency to kind of do the things that we find streamlined already and, you know, whatever. So, you know, this is the beauty behind Dennis's concept of the YouTube challenge.
Yeah.
And it pushed you into this different world of working with a steel you never worked with. By the way, if you want to get your own piece of this amazing steel, you can go to bakerforge.com right now. Use WFI10 as your promo code. Save 10%. Look at the stainless copper Mai. I'm not exactly sure what he calls it.
I can tell
Nitro
you. So
V
it's,
and ABL, but
it's stainless core with 1084 and copper Damascus on the cladding. And if you want the exact same piece of steel, not the exact same, but the same style of steel, he's going to be releasing it at Blade Show. And this knife will be there at Blade Show as well if you want to check it out.
Oh, fantastic. Okay, great. Yeah, go to their website, bakerforge.com. They're a sponsor of the show. And they, I can see here, wow, they've got some, even some new stuff. The Mosaic Copper Damascus, the alien eye thing that he did is amazing. And that's actually sold out.
Yep.
But wow. Anyway, you use their steel for it. What did you use for the handle material?
I bought handle material. It's Oleg. What is it? Krillian birch. I don't know how to say that K word.
Yeah, it sounds about right.
Is it Krillian? Yeah, is that how you pronounce it? But I bought that from Maritime Knife Supply. And if you head over to maritimeknifesupply.ca or .com, you can see all of the different things that Lawrence Lake, who is an absolutely fantastic dude. I mean, you guys want to support Lawrence Lake just because he's awesome. But on top of that, he has fantastic prices. The shipping's quick. And he has everything under the sun. It seems like every week he's coming out with some new stuff on the storefront. So go check out Maritime Knife Supply. That's the spot.
Did you end up actually putting any protective coating on it by chance?
You know it. Dude, this Viking Challenge knife is the perfect like work for it sponsor knife because it's Baker Forge and Tool, it's Maritime Knife Supply, and it's absolutely covered in Pelican paste. And yeah, I mean, Pickle, why don't you tell the people about Pelican paste?
Pelican paste is fuck. I was going to go off on a reason, I swear. It's just fucking great, all right? It's simply great. I love it. I was an axe wax kind of guy before Pelican paste came up. And I really, really enjoy what's coming out of his shop. Sorry if you guys hear some loud banging. There's some renovations going on upstairs for me.
Yeah, no problem.
Oh, there they are.
There they are, right? So, yeah. Anyways, that's fucking annoying. Distracting. Jesus, fuck.
Let me interject real quick since you're getting like the DEA is pounding on your door right now or something.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
So I was talking with Brent about Pelican paste oil, the new oil that he's got coming out.
Mm.
And I believe you actually, in fact, let me just go to his website, pelicanpaste.com. Oh yeah, he does have it on his, he's got, oh no. Do you guys know if he's got the oil out yet, or is he still in prototyping phase?
I'm not entirely sure. I haven't seen it.
I don't see it in his shop.
I believe it's not on his shop, but I've seen it in Brent's hands, and I think a few.
No. He does have it. I'm sorry. Pelican oil for knife and tool. Got it.
So it is out. There you go.
It is out. And so I was talking with Brent, and Brent is working on a knife for someone who listens to this podcast, and he was showing it to
Brent, you shouldn't have. Thanks, man.
And so I got a chance to see the knife before, like while it was in process, and then he went home, finished the knife, and then coated it in Pelican oil. And it was like a completely different knife. It just made the G10 pop. Initially, there's a color scheme going on this knife. And I was like, it's close, but it's not quite there, you know. And then once he oiled it, it looked perfect. It was beautiful. So go check out pelicanpaste.com. You can use the same promo code WFI10 to get 10% off your purchase. Tell Travis, Mr. Travis, Travis Haynes, that we sent you. The Work For It boys sent you. He would appreciate that to hear that. And also make sure, you know, if you listen to us and do these sponsorship reads, it's the sponsors that we have on this show are items that we use regularly. These mm-hmm. are not things like we're not just paid to say this shit. We use their stuff. And it's because honestly, we love the sponsors. But the patrons keep this show commercial free.
Yeah.
The sponsors approached us and said, hey, you guys use our stuff. Would you mind talking about it on the show?
Yeah.
And they pay us a little bit to do that. So, but at the same time, we love their stuff and then we use it. So, like I said, reputation is everything. I would never recommend anything we didn't use and had firsthand experience with. So, go check out all our sponsors and support them because this community is tight and we need to keep supporting these guys doing this work because they fulfill. And they fill a very small, like a hole in the market. If you know anything about a couple of these other wax companies and oil companies, there's a lot of drama going on in that world for whatever fucking reason. I don't know. But people aren't keeping their shit together. Travis is doing this work. He is the guy to buy the stuff from. He's going to be around for a long time too. So just keep that in mind. Whenever you see these products out there, it's like, I watched a reel from a guy who bought a bike rack from some company that said they had a lifetime guarantee. The weld broke. He went back to them after like a year of ownership. And they're like, oh, no, that's not guaranteed because this, this, and this. And he's like, but you have a lifetime guarantee. And you know what I wrote in there? I was like, this reminds me of Tommy Boy. The movie Tommy Boy. Remember where he's walking up to the guy, the brake pad guy, and he goes, you and I both know that the guarantee or the warranty on the box is only as good as the person serving it. He's like, right. You want me to take a shit in a box and put a guarantee on it? I will. Because really all you've got is a guaranteed piece of shit. And so the reality of this is business is more than just a product. It's the customer service. It's the longevity. It's how they handle things with you. And that's why we have these three companies as our sponsors, because they are solid, hardcore, great businessmen who also have an amazing product. So
now, do you want to hear the absolute opposite of our situation here on the podcast?
Sure, of course.
So I was actually emailed a couple different times about someone wanting to sponsor the vlog. And it was kind of funny because it seemed like a scam email to start, but I responded to it and they like got back to me and it seemed like a real person actually messaging me. So it kind of gave me of like, oh, wow, they're actually serious. But I got offered by a company to basically send me products to feature on the vlog and then also to pay me $150 for the privilege. But it ended up being Temu.
Oh.
Yeah, about solid pass on that one, my dude.
Yeah.
But it's just
unfortunate.
It's just like, you know, I would be selling my word for $150 and a couple cheap things. Probably not, my man. It's not going to work for me.
Yeah, and but, you know, here's the thing. These companies approach me too all the time, and Vever is one of them. And use some of their stuff. Like I have a couple of their tools that are great, and we use them in production environment. And they'll approach me and say, "Hey, can we send you this or whatever?" And so now, though, so I tell them, like my response, my canned response is, "Whatever you decide to sell me just understand that I need to use it for a while first before I ever endorse anything."
Yeah,
they don't like that. They want me to unbox it and tell everybody how great it is. How the fuck do I know it's a great thing if I've just opened the box? I mean, right. You know, and so I tell these people this and they're understanding, but then they send me a contract for you will produce this many videos and this many reels and this many blah, 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 blah. And I went back to them and I said, just the fact that I'm wearing one of your welding helmets with your logo on it in my videos probably sells you hundreds of welding helmets every year. I just need you to understand that, you know, people just watching me use these things. Nobody watches unboxing videos in my world.
Yeah.
You know, kids watch that. They, you know, not adults. And of course it's crickets after that. They don't want to work with me because they know that, you know, whatever. So I just buy, you know, whatever I buy. But I'm getting more like Jimmy Duresta with this shit. Like I'm painting my tools different colors and covering up logos now, because if you want me to show it off in my video, you want me to represent your brand, you're going to pay me. That's the way it is. I'm sorry. Yeah, I love it. And I will refer people. I will tell them like what I use. But at the same time, I'm like, you're going to,
you know what I use?
Official. I know how valuable this data is. I know how valuable an endorsement is. And you every single day, I get a little bit more coverage. I get a little bit more eyes on my work.
Your head grows dollar, just a little bit more.
The dollar amount goes up every day. It does, because I don't have time for the shit. You know, I'll tell you guys what I use if you want, but I'm not going to endorse it. Like
you definitely use a Fireball welding table.
Say I use this tool and this tool. That I do use, and they don't pay.
Like I use your welding.
Funny thing.
Yeah,
I Jason gave me a deal on that table. And it, but it wasn't for any, there was no contract. There was no, hey, you show it off in your video. Cause he knows. He freaking knows. He knows that if that table is in my shop, it's going to sell him tables. That he just knows this. So he gave me a deal on the table. But at the same time,
work with something. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
go ahead.
He didn't ask me to make any videos about it. He was like, yeah, I'll give you a discount, but like, no, there's no obligation. So that's how business is done these days, by the way. So.
Yes,
anyway,
sir.
I said I was going to keep this positive. Now we're like, we're bashing people again.
Well, we're bashing Timu and Vever. Does that really count?
Listen, Brian, I've got a contract on my desk right here for Wish.com. They want to get in with you. They've got some great tools they want to send you.
Okay.
Oh, well, and some Damascus and some knives play with in your shop. Yeah.
Now, I think my price point is right about $500,000 to be doing that type of a thing. Because I don't want to.
Okay, a couple things. Pickle, I noticed you've got the blue-handled knife. I really love that design. Got a couple things rolling out. Briefly, give me the update on how you're... I know you're off of Instagram. You're just posting on Instagram periodically or whatever.
I post every day.
Yeah, but you're not using it as a sales tool, right?
No, not as a sales tool, no.
You're still all in on Facebook?
Yes, sir, 100%.
Because I got messaged by a couple of knife makers who are production knife makers who listened to this podcast and told me that the information you shared about Facebook was super valuable to them, that they were not selling on Facebook before they heard you talking about it, and you convinced them to do so. These people were mostly invested in Instagram and Reddit. Okay. And again, Reddit doesn't come up that often because it's not a platform where you can blatantly sell things. You can, however, show your work, and if someone DMs you there, you know, that's where a lot of business is being done.
Transactions are made that way. Yeah.
Yeah. In the DMs. But remember that Facebook groups is a great way to start moving this stuff. However, I got another message from someone who was in the pew, you know, the whole gun world for a long
time.
That's
a different world. Yeah. And that's been gone a long time ago.
But this is anecdotal kind of reference, but it's still something to think about. And I'm not fear-mongering here, but they shut that group down, those groups Listen, down on Facebook
there's,
too.
There's still some of these groups out there. There's just none of these sales going on them. Like Facebook gun sales used to be a thing. Like there's guys here locally that lived off of that for a while. There's actually three guys that I know in this town that used to trade, buy, and sell guns via Facebook, right? And I'd say about 5 or 7 years ago, like it's more when Trudeau stepped in and started putting these gun laws in effect that the Facebook groups here in Canada started taking a hike, right? And then everything else on Facebook gun related with all the gun crime going on in the States. Yes, the guns got targeted hard and they got swept under the carpet long before any of this Instagram stuff started happening. And to be honest, I wouldn't even fear any of this because those knife groups were there at the same time as these gun groups and they're still there.
Yeah.
You know, and yes, they do get that attention, that negative attention and all that, these gun groups, and you can't really blame the situation, right? Like I understand it and you know why it's being suppressed on social media. But knives, there's no reason for it to being suppressed. Like a lot of it is just like kitchen knives and stuff. Like, why would they banned a chef knife discussion group? You know what I'm saying? When it's in the name, discussion, chef knives discussions. There's no sales, no trades. There's nothing of that. Like, there's just so much more leeway in the Facebook group world, if you want to say, to get away with all these little glitches that we're dealing with on Instagram. And like you said, there's this knife company that they went to it. They messaged you. I'm seeing people pop up in these groups lately to Sharky's out there introducing himself in all these knife groups. Mm. And I bet you anything, he's been there for about, like, I saw him when I got back from Florida. I saw him in like 5 or 6 different knife groups, same post, him introducing himself, what he does. And I bet you anything, he's made more sales since that time than he has in the past month with Instagram and his, like, everything else going on in his life.
You're probably right. Sharky is a good example because, you know, he's selling things to knife makers. Mm-hmm. Facebook.
Brent's killing it in the groups too. He's all over them. I see him in there too. All the EDC and the knife groups and it's just, why not? Like, and then you got people buying your stuff. Like, I showed you a post when I was down there in a Canadian knife and gear group. Okay, CKG. A thicker clipper with the TRD theme showed up in the group. And this is one of my customers too. And how did he know about it? I posted my thicker clipper to that group a while back, right? And then I posted it again. And then people are like, what the fuck's this knife? And it's a thicker clipper, Bald Man Knife and Tool. And this guy, Troy, he's bought a few knives from me. That actually, the one with the blue and yellow handle that you commented on earlier, Brian, that's his. And he bought a thicker clipper from Brent. And he got it like right before I left to go to Florida, that last batch he put out. So, like,
yeah, I think Brent told me about that. Yeah.
And it helps move stuff like that too, because I got a customer that posts my stuff regularly in like 3 or 4 knife groups. And every time he does, everybody wants to know who made that badass blade. And I get sales from it.
I gotta say, I'm super proud of Brent and what he's done with Bald Man.
Oh, yeah. It's like, he's killing it.
I had a conversation with him yesterday about how much I love watching his professional development. Not just in knives, but just in everything.
Yeah, I saw a big difference too. Like when I was down there, like everything he was doing, like the business side of things, there's not like this little custom knife maker here in Canada, right? Like he's in the full business side of things and dealing with other companies and all that stuff. And I was amazed by what I saw. You know, I was like, holy shit, Brent's fucking killing it. He kind
of opened your eyes to a lot of what's behind the scenes, dude. You know.
Oh yeah. And I was impressed with it, like to see him kill it like that, like drop fucking 12 knives on one day and then get one message, be like, hey, we want all those knives.
He does a drop and they sell out that day. Yeah. So it's like gone. And so
killing it.
The running joke is that I'm gonna work for him one day. So I told him, I said, man, when this starts, you gotta, don't forget about me, man, for sure, because he's honestly, every time I turn around, it's a success story after success story with him. And I told him yesterday how much I love having a front row seat to it, because when he came on with Housemade, you know, he was making knives in his shed and he was doing his thing and he was really dedicated to the process. And I saw that, and he just does really clean work and did back then even. So it was like nice to see him kind of take what he's seeing at Housemade, right? Like he's got a front row seat to what we do and apply that to Bald Man. So I'm gonna just say something, and I think most of the listeners know this, that when you listen to the Work For It podcast, you're kind of getting the same thing. You're not getting it daily. You're not absorbing it like, you know, Brent is every day for 8 hours a day, but you're at least getting a chance at like a little window into my process, because I don't censor my process here. When I tell you guys, hey, I do this, this, and this, this is how it works, and this is how I'm, you know, factor in my costs and my margins and logistics and all of that stuff, which can kind of get boring at times, but it's important shit. That's what he's doing with Bald Man. And I love it when I hear that. You're the second person to tell me this story, by the way, where they had a Bald Man knife and tool knife and someone saw it and they wanted it and they went to Brent and bought one. You're the second guy to tell me that story in the last few days.
Yep. And that's how it works. Like, these groups are good for that too. Like I'm saying, like
exactly.
If I have somebody on Instagram buy a knife from me, okay, and he only has an account with 2 pictures and 100 followers, and he gets this knife from me and he posts it to his Instagram account and he tags me in collabs with me. Like, what are the chances that I'm going to get a sell out of that? But if I got a customer like Chris that goes to a knife group with 141,000 people on it and he posts my work as a top contributor to the group, I'm getting fucking action on that post.
You can't ask for a better recommendation, by the way, than a customer photographing and then posting, which happens all the time with our tools, which I freaking love. I can't wait until these scoops come out because you're going to see those everywhere. But it's the same thing. It's a customer referral that says, I bought a knife from Pickle. Here's a picture of it. Check it out. And you can't really do that on Instagram like you can.
No, you can't.
You can't target like you can in Facebook groups. So you're right, like 100% right about that.
Yeah.
Reddit's the same way, by the way. So anyway, all right. So I wanted to touch briefly on that because I know there's a lot of attention shifting going on in the social world, and we need to touch on it regularly and remind everyone who's listening here to always cross post across all platforms. You know, you should be focusing on all.
Share other people's content on Instagram too. Like,
yes.
Like, I'm still getting like this past, like ever since we got suppressed again, like I still reach 10,000 non-followers anyways, right? Yeah. Like I'm sharing stuff. I'm collabing with Brian, whatever, all that. It all helps. Just share it as a fucking story. You know, you might have 10 people that don't know if Pickle Cutter's following you, and they might click on that story and be like, oh shit, that's pretty cool, and then click on my profile and follow me. You know what I'm saying? So like, it's nothing. It takes nothing out of your day. It just takes a click or two, and you helped us all. And that's all it is. Like, it's let's just be nice to each other. Let's not fucking be Richards.
Yeah.
Let's stop crying. Stop crying.
Being nice is easy and free.
Yes, and be proactive with it. Don't make it into your daily slump and bitch about it every day.
But yeah, do you know who's not bitching about it every day? All the people posting in the hashtag WFI projects.
That is true.
How's that for a transition?
I actually was just looking at WFI projects and saw a few things in there that I hadn't seen before. One of which is Spruce Hill Studios posted an AI art, which is generated through AI of the eclipse.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool. And he tagged WFI projects in there. So there's so much in here now. It's 18,967 projects. And we're climbing into the 20,000 projects range, which is huge.
Yeah, man.
To see. So
that's another thing that happened since I've been on the podcast is going down and seeing the eclipse, but I won't bore you guys with it.
Yeah.
I've got Crafty Man Forge. He forged out some really cool looking chopsticks. You know, I've been watching his work a lot lately, and it seems like he's progressing really quickly. I mean, he's always been really fantastic, but these chopsticks are clean. So I'm a big fan of them, and great post. Crafty Man Forge, he is currently at 451 followers, so he definitely needs a boost.
That's Luke Johnson, who is also Funny Man Luke Johnson, who sends us funny stuff all the time in the audio section.
Yes, he does.
And I just really quickly wanted to shout out HT1 Metalworks. Whenever I shout him out, he's so appreciative. But at the same time, we see the hustle, man. Holy smokes.
I know, and you just took him away from me, bastard.
Sorry. I mean, you can say what you want to say. I'm just mentioning his
part. I bring him up all the
time,
but like his stuff is just, it's mind-blowing. The casting process is what captivates me, I guess. I don't know. It's just, you got a box full of sand, you're pouring molten fucking steel in it, and you come out with this beautiful piece, right? And it's just great. I don't know. I want to try casting.
I want to try more of it. I've done a little bit of it, and I love it. Yeah, it's a great process. We have all the tools to do it. Again, that's like another thing we're talking about with the Scoop Project and stuff. It's like all these guys have forges and induction forges and all the stuff you need to melt copper or brass or whatever. And it isn't that it's not hard to melt it. It's hard to like pour it and, you know, do all that. But it's a fun process. It is an absolute fun process, and it opens up doors for a lot of other things. So go check out WFI Projects, the hashtag WFI Projects on your phone, and dig into that. These are all supporters of Work For It. These are people who are working hard, creating things, and making the world a better place by creating stuff and staying out of trouble. I mean, geez,
there it is,
these guys.
Hey, speaking of trouble, I was wondering, have you had any trouble with those welds yet?
No, I have not had any trouble with those welds. What welds are you talking about? What are you talking about?
Those welds that shouldn't be good. The welds that you caught a lot of heat for.
There was some. No, my I don't even want to get into it.
See, Pickle, I thought you were talking about the welds that I showed off.
Yeah, no, it's stirring the bucket here.
I know. This is part of entertainment, right?
It is. I've been criticized by some folks about my processes, and you know, hey, it's not a bad thing. I appreciate the eyes on my work and the double checks.
So that only gave us the opportunity to further look into it and learn more over the subject and know that it can be done and it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not the end of the world. The ball will not stop fucking dropping. Housemaid is going to keep on doing its thing. And
All right, so you guys gave us the opportunity to learn something. My balls have dropped.
I'll tell you what. I know.
You guys have to fill me in because I missed this piece of content. What am I?
All right. So the top tool that we've made for the scoop projects is a 52-100 2-inch in diameter ball bearing, and we welded them to a mild steel plate.
Okay.
When you weld a 52-100, and we know this because we've had this happen, it gets brittle. Okay, because it's an air hardening steel. It can be an air hardening steel, and it can get, so when you heat it up and like we did when we put in a weld, it can right at that particular, there's a heat affected zone, right?
Okay.
Where imagine it's a high carbon steel, so imagine it's like a poorly heat treated knife. If that makes sense. Like the grain is real big, and in order to solve this, you can do a couple things. You can preheat 52-100 before you weld it, which we did not do. And then, or you can do a post temper to de-stress.
That's what I was thinking.
The steel, which we do at 650 Fahrenheit, we post temper these. However, and I'm just going to say this publicly, is I have about three or four of these tools in my shop that I use without post temper. No problem. I have put in a 25 ton press and I have pressed all 25 tons of it onto these things with zero issue. And it's just more of a safety thing. We just took the next step to say, we're going to temper these back a little bit so they're a little softer. But if you, of course, like anything or any tool, if you abuse this thing, it will break. I mean, it's just that simple. It will break. But what we've told people, and I mentioned this in the video, is that top tool is designed to be used top down and or bottom up. It is when you flip that thing over and you put that piece of copper on there and you start hammering it out, it's not meant to be hitting it on the side. It's not a hammer. It's not, it's not to be used with side load. Okay. Because that's where the stress is. That's what, you know, you're going to take it. By the way, I don't know why anyone would do this, but you know, we just have to say this. If you abuse this thing, it will break or it could chip or whatever. So, but I've used these things with zero issue and, you know, whatever, and put a lot of pressure on them and they don't fail. And I think it's mostly because we've protected that bottom portion with all that quarter inch plate. It's, you know, it's there and you're really putting the pressure on that. And the sphere is the strongest shape known to nature, right? It's a strong shape. So when you put top down pressure and you're just using that top part as your anvil or using it as a pressing tool, it works beautifully. And you saw that in my video. If you watch the YouTube video, you can see how I'm using it and using it properly. Yeah. But of course, if you abuse this thing, if you use it improperly, just like anything, literally anything, you know, it will fail. It will break. And that was, you know, in some DMs and comments and things that I had with some guys, I was trying to reiterate, like, yeah, of course, if you abuse this or if you use it improperly, it's just not. It's like anything else. Yeah, it's just like anything.
My forge press could be as dangerous itself, let alone.
Blacksmithing is dangerous. Like, those were like some things that we brought up.
I got somebody bring up in a comment of mine, in a reel of mine, how my press was way too close to my forge.
Yeah.
And then I'm thinking to myself, well, if I do spring a leak and I'm holding a molting hot, not molting, but a screaming hot piece of steel, that's the same difference to me.
It's pretty, like, much the same thing. Yeah.
That hot piece of steel that's in that press could be as much of a danger as that forge that's like 3 feet away from the press, you know?
Now, like, I just want to be super clear about something, because I know I'm going to get more DMs about this now. Thanks a lot, Pickle. I appreciate that. And I don't mind that people approach me with these things, because it is something I need to look at closer, and it's something that I may have overlooked, right? And it's a good thing, okay?
Yes.
When it's annoying, though, is when I'm like, you know, people are saying,
having to argue with somebody, that they're trying to prove a point, and there's no concrete evidence or anything to back what they're saying. It is fucking annoying.
It is a little annoying, and I get it, and whatever. And I know people are just trying to help, and I get it. It's a thing. But remember, blacksmithing is dangerous. You do this at your own risk. And, you know, every time you do something, you know, that involves hardened steel, like anvils or whatever. Yeah. I mean, it's a risk.
How many hammers come with a label that say do not strike with another hammer, but yet people are still striking hammers with hammers, right?
It's done all the
time.
When
they make a softened hammers to strike hardened hammers with as well, too. So, like, it's natural selection is a thing, and we can't be the god of it. Like, you got to be wise when you're working with any tool, period. It could be a table saw. It could be a bandsaw. It could be a chainsaw. It could be a press. It could be a forge. It could be a welder. Be careful.
Be careful.
Be cautious.
I also notice sometimes that there is a lot of mothering going on, where people are like, oh, you know, like the situation you were in with the, if that thing springs a leak and blah, blah, blah. I remember when I was building my mezzanine, I had the same, like, I was the other day I was standing on my mezzanine going, you know how many people told me this was going to collapse?
I had that same thought when I walked up there last Saturday, and I was like, this thing's pretty fucking solid, because there's a lot of shit up there.
It doesn't
right?
move. Like, yeah. There's a motorcycle up there. I mean, I've got a fully built motorcycle on my mezzanine with a shit ton of heavy tools.
A hurricane could go right through there and rip that building apart. That mezzanine's still going to be standing
there. The mezzanine
there.
Would it's, still be there. Still yeah, be exactly. There.
It will
I was going to say, a hurricane could go through, and it has.
And it has. Literally, it did. So anyway, I appreciate it. Just be careful when you're mothering people. It can get a little annoying. And, you know, and I love you guys. It's not that. It's just when I answer the same question over and over, and I get the response of, well, this is what happened to me, or this is what it's like. Okay. Yeah. It happened to you one time. Okay. I get it. Hey, things happen.
Shit happens.
You know, I've also crashed my car a couple times and I still get in it and drive it every day. So it's just the way it is. But anyway, appreciate you guys. Do not take this. By the way, we're not singling anyone out here. This was like more than one person. This was like a bunch of people talking to me like this. So it wasn't
a portion of the community.
Yeah.
I even got DMs from it as well, too. People that were concerned about it. And they're like, it's all good. It's cool. Yes. But, you know, there's things that are being done in this world that are, you know, out of your control. And sometimes you should just leave it at that, right?
Like, yes.
Not get involved in something that has nothing to do with you.
Right.
It will change nothing in your life. whatsoever.
Yeah. So anywho, I real quick wanted to ask you guys, did you know that golf courses now are hiring dermatologists?
Oh yeah, why is
that? Are you serious?
Yeah, they're hiring dermatologists. I was like, this is weird. They needed to have some moles removed.
Oh my god. Did you hear about the police station that got their toilet stolen from them?
No.
Yeah, they got nothing to go on though.
That's a good one. I've heard that one before. That's a good one. That's a solid that is a dad good joke.
Yeah. I took that a screenshot of that right before the show started. I was like, I got to pull this one out. That was good.
I miss the. I honestly, when I listened back to the last episode, I don't know. It felt like the dad joke was missing the trombone.
Oh, totally. The trombone yeah, is an important part of this. Yeah, it's the crescendo.
Without the tribe
okay,
mode,
so I have a
not-
question from one of our beautiful patron members, and if you're interested in doing this, you can be a part of the after show and the conversation going on over at Patreon for as little as $10.80 a year. You can join us, Francesco, my Florida friend, Francesco Mucci, who is also happens to be very Italian. So whenever I talk with him, I feel like I'm like in a pizzeria or like somebody making a lot of pasta or something. It's very, very fun to talk with him. That is a very poor generalization of the Italian people. I'm very sorry. I feel like I'm playing Mario Brothers whenever I'm talking.
I feel like you're in an Olive Garden.
I know, right? Jesus Christ. I'm an idiot. He's a good dude, too. I shouldn't be making fun of him, but I know he'll laugh at that. He says... good day, everyone. I have a question for the pack. I recently started a YouTube channel only to broaden my reach. I have to have an extra marketing tool. Okay. I know at the beginning and for a long while, it is going to be a depressing enterprise and I'm prepared for that. Nevertheless, what are some key points to grow the number of subscribers and views in order to have more eyes on my products? Thank you so much for all the info you guys give out every week. And always, it's always very precious information. So
I've got to point out, this is two episodes in a row where Pickle can really tell a lot of valuable information in the after show.
Well, if you take the same concept and apply it to Facebook, because it will be the same thing. It doesn't have to just be YouTube. It can be social media in general.
Yeah, but you could take that YouTube link to Facebook, though.
Oh, ooh. Of course. And that's what we're going to talk about in the after show conversation. So we're gonna bring this up in the after show, and we're going to talk all about it. Thank you, Francesco, for your patronage and your support. Anything else you guys want to stir the bucket with? You want to get me more in the DMs with these people, Pickle? You want to start bringing up all this other bullshit now and I have to deal with it now?
I think I'm good.
He's like, let me just go ahead and throw a flashbang into the room and walk out.
All right, like gentlemen. I said, it's entertainment, guys. That's why you guys love me.
Yeah. All right. We'll catch you guys in the next episode. Appreciate you.
See you guys.